Today we are going to cast back our minds to the 4th century and learn what we can from somebody who was born about the year 354. His name is John Chrysostom, or Chrysostom, if you like. Actually, Chrysostom is not his name. It was a title given to him by the church a couple of centuries after his death. It's Greek for golden-mouthed. So really, to us it's become his name, though in fact it's a title. And it gives you the clue to the reason why he has a claim on our interest this evening. He wasn't a martyr like Polycarp and Justin. He wasn't a scholar like Origen. He wasn't as great a theologian as Athanasius. And he was less in every way than the mighty Augustine. Yet in his time, he was supreme as a preacher. Hence the complimentary title, Golden-Mouthed. Both his parents were living in Antioch in Syria, and both of them were Christians. His father was a centurion in the Roman army, but he died while Chrysostom was a child. So the 20-year-old widow had the task of bringing up two children, an elder daughter and the man who was to become John Chrysostom. She gave them the best education she knew, which was the knowledge of the scriptures, and for what she couldn't teach them, she brought in other educators. One of them said that Anthusa ranks high among the great Christian women who have lived across the centuries. He said, "What women these Christians have." It sounds a bit double-edged when you first hear it, but if you take it from me, it's a compliment. If Chrysostom had practiced law with his great skills of oratory, no doubt he would have been a rich man very young. But by the year 381, he had renounced the idea of being a sort of spiritual hermit, which he'd got into his head from somewhere, and he began 12 years of consecutive preaching in the biggest church in Antioch. It was called the Church of the Apostles. Over 600 of his sermons have survived and can be read today. We know that he prepared his sermons carefully. We even know that occasionally he read them. But either way, he was plainly a totally spellbinding creature, because when you were in his congregation, you hung on every word the man said. He's left behind 97 sermons on Genesis, 90 on Matthew, 88 on John, 74 on the two letters to Corinthians, and so on. It's no wonder that after Augustine, nobody was more popular with the great reformers. You see, Chrysostom used both the expository and the topical methods of preaching the scriptures. And he also used the plain historical sense of the Bible. He did not go in for this idea of finding layers of fantastic / mystical meanings in the scriptures. At the time, Antioch had 200,000 people, and it is estimated that 100,000 of them were at least nominal Christians. On the 26th of February, 387, the emperor gave out an order that a tax was to be collected in Antioch. And the city erupted in riots. Toxteth, Antioch, Los Angeles there's a string of these right across history. There's very little new under the sun. And the mobs destroyed beautiful public buildings for no reason whatsoever. They just got completely out of control. Finally, they realized that the Roman army would come and dispense justice, and panic set in. And Chrysostom was delighted to see it was standing room only in his church. There were even pickpockets going around, pickpocketing the people at the back. And he preached a very, very clear message of repentance. He made full use of that opportunity. And then in 398, he transferred to Constantinople. And that very year, an earthquake hit the city. And in a sermon, he said, "It was a sign of the wrath of God against the luxury, the extravagance, and the vice of the upper classes." And they just hated him for saying that. Chrysostom himself had adopted the simplest possible sort of lifestyle, and he actually believed that it was improper to go in for what we would call conspicuous spending. Maybe he was tactless, and on some doctrinal matters, there is no doubt he was wrong. But he did back the basic historic faith of the Council of Nicaea and of Athanasius. He spearheaded a mission to the Goths. He built a hospital for the poor. And you can just imagine how popular he was when he told the women in his congregation that the metal in their earrings should be melt down to help pay for it. In the end, he was hounded out of Constantinople, and he died in 407, and he was only 53. Now, what on earth could you learn in 1992 from a man like that? Well, first this. He left a description of himself behind. He's rather interesting. He said, "I am bald. I am wrinkled. I'm as thin as a," this is his word, "a spider. I'm a dwarf." Actually, he was barely 5 feet high. And you could chuck in, I suppose, his tactless autocratic manner. Yet when he opened his mouth, the Spirit used him. Remember what 1 Samuel 16 verse 7 says? "The Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Secondly, he was conscious of eternity in a much more intense way than modern people are. I'm going to quote you some of his words. "Many hardships," he said, "I see I must undergo before I quit this troublesome life, for I know the subtlety of Satan, who cannot bear to be daily, tormented with my preaching. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Call to mind how I always told you, this life is a road in which joys and sorrows pass swiftly away. Are we better than the patriarchs, the prophets and the apostles, that we should even want to live here forever?" Really, we should remind ourselves often that we are all terminal cases, to use the modern medical jargon. Chrysostom did. And lastly, in his sermon on the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he said this, "I always advise, and shall never cease to advise, that you be diligent in reading the divine scriptures at home. No excuses, I am engaged in public affairs. I have a trade. I have a wife and children to care for. You all have a need to read the scriptures. So here is a man from the 4th century telling us here tonight quite plainly that our lives will soon be over, that we should be reading the scriptures at home, and that for him to live was Christ, and to die is gain. His voice still calls across the centuries, from Constantinople to Liverpool, and it says, "Are you yet converted?"